That's Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil, and save whatever is left, and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Actually, just before I start, you nearly had a very amusing moment there, because I saw something on the ground, and just as I stepped over it and my sort of cassock enveloped it, I realised it was a wasp. And when I moved on, I couldn't find the wasp anymore. But then it did appear on the ground, and it's now a dead wasp. Let's start with a prayer as we come to think about prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray again this morning. Please teach us to pray. Amen. Every year, we go to the same part of the Lake District on holiday. It's a village near Ullswater. It's beautiful. It looks out over Place Fell. And this is a picture, actually, of Georgina, our daughter, with an owl. If you hadn't guessed. And it is a beautiful place. I don't actually know, it's horrible. Don't go there. Because that would just put the prices up. And the place is called Glenridding. It's a village right at one end of the Lake of Ullswater. And that was actually taken, I think, last summer, wasn't it, in September. This is the same location 3 months later. You may remember that during Storm Desmond, it was reported that one village in the Lake District was particularly badly hit by floods. There had been a landslide further up the valley, and that had created a huge amount of spoil coming down, and the river was flooded. In fact, that cross is where Georgina was standing, and this wasn't at the height of the flood. And it was devastating. I don't know whether you remember the news reporting. And there was much that went on, and people were upset. And in particular, more actually the press than the local people, they wanted someone to blame. And so they blamed the government and the Environment Agency, which seemed bizarre. It was a freak occurrence. Many of us here go to Keswick, the Keswick Convention, which is a fantastic convention. And they will know, if you've been to Keswick over the past few years, you will know they have spent millions of pounds on new flood defences because of floods some years ago. But in the recent Storm Desmond, those flood defences were topped by the floods and Keswick was flooded again. And people want someone to blame. Why do we do that? Well, at its heart, it is because we are shocked. We are shocked that we cannot prepare for every eventuality. We live in one of the richest, most powerful nations in history. And we have got used to having everything we need. We expect it. We think it is our right. We have earned it. And so when disaster hits, we want someone to blame because someone has stolen our right, so we think. Well, this sense of the right to never suffer, this sense of self-sufficiency is turned upside down by the Lord's Prayer. Just as we've seen that the Lord's Prayer turns every other part of our life upside down, so it does with our self-sufficiency and our sense of entitlement that trouble should never hit, that we should always be able to prepare for the worst. So let's look at our particular topic today. Give us today our daily bread. And we're going to look at two words in this phrase. We're going to look at the word bread and we're going to look at the word today. So first, bread. Of course, here, as we saw in the illustration, Jesus means our literal physical bread. As I said, bread was, in that culture, the main food. It was the basic food. It's very easy to make bread. You only need three ingredients to make bread. You need flour, you need water, and you need yeast. In fact, you don't even need yeast if you're going to make an unleavened bread. You just need two of the most basic ingredients that there are. And so when Jesus talks about give us our bread, he means sustain our lives. He's purposely talking about our most basic physical need to encompass all of our bodily needs. And so we need to be reminded by saying that the Lord's Prayer regularly that it is God who will supply all of our needs. He will supply all of our needs. And crucially, it will not ultimately be up to us to meet all of our needs. We saw in our reading today, we read about God's people, the Israelites. If you like, if you're a Christian, it's your long ago brothers and sisters. And we read that during their time wandering in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, they had a very immediate sense of God's daily provision of bread. The manna appeared each morning, and they didn't have to work for it, they just gathered it in. But there came a time when the wanderings in the wilderness ended, and they arrived in the promised land, and they were encouraged now to produce their own food. And so the manna stopped the day they crossed over into the promised land. But listen to what Moses says at that point. He says this: God gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, he's talking about as they enter the land and start farming it, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, his promise, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. In other words, Moses knows what we're like. He knows that we all have those moments when we look at what we own, the house, the car, the nice food, the holiday, and we say, I earned that. I worked a long life, and now I'm enjoying my retirement, or I'm still working, and I've earned that. It is mine. Haven't I been successful? Have you ever felt that? I know I have. And Moses says, don't, warning. Remember this, the only reason that you were able to produce anything, earn anything, was because God gave you that ability. And so you are dependent on him daily. So don't be ungrateful. The Christian, when they are being truly godly, never looks at what they have and says, I earned this. It is my right. They say, God, you are so gracious. You have given me what I need again. But as I said earlier, the Lord's Prayer includes much more than just our need for food. It includes all our bodily needs. Many of us here will never be in danger of not having enough food for that day. We might not have enough food for lunch because we forgot to bring our packed lunch. We haven't got a wallet. But we're never going to be in danger of not having enough food for that day. But there are many other needs which we have. Emotional needs, intellectual needs, social needs, needs for company, and psychological needs. There'll be times when we think that we cannot cope, that we have run out of resources. And then we can turn to him. This can happen moment by moment in the most surprising moments. We may have a task to do, such as preach a sermon. And at the last minute, we're thrown out. And we are called to pray again, give us now what I need. So this speaks of our bodily needs, but it also speaks of our spiritual needs. Jesus later on takes this theme of bread, and he used it to point to himself. He says, I am the bread of life. And in so doing, he is telling us something which he discovered in the wilderness himself. When he was tempted by the devil to turn a stone into bread, and he says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. He knew that there is a need we have greater than physical food, social company, emotional comfort, psychological balance. We have a need for him. So give us today our daily bread also means give us today more of Jesus, Father God. In fact, that's the reason why Christians fast when they do. It's a way of saying, Jesus, my need for you is more fundamental, more foundational than my need for food today, than my need for, I don't know, my mobile phone today, than my need for television today. My need for you is more foundational. And so at its heart, this talking of our bread that God provides will have an impact on the life of the Christian. And as we speak about this impact, it's worth thinking, how does my life measure up to this? Here, it will give us a contentment about the present, a contentment about what we have now. By choosing a basic necessity, Jesus is not saying that God will give us all the luxuries that we want. He might well do. He is a gracious and generous God. But he doesn't promise to do so. Because one of the repeated lessons of the Bible, of God's word, is that the mark of God's people is that they seek a simple lifestyle rather than a luxurious one. There are many, many examples of this. Possibly my favourite is in Proverbs. And it says this in Proverbs 30, verse 8. And as I read it, ask yourself, is this a prayer that I pray? Because it is a prayer in Scripture. He says this, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. We are called to be content when our needs are met. And this will mark us out as wholly different from the world around us. We are based on an economy which is founded on coveting, which means coveting means wanting what you do not have. That's what the whole advertising, most of advertising right now is based on that. They show you something you don't have and they make you want it. They make you dissatisfied with your life now and promise you that if only you have this, you will be fulfilled. So as we go through this week, here's our first assignment from God's word. This is our homework, if you like. Let us ask ourselves as we go through this week, do the people around me think of me as a contented person? Or do I often talk about what I don't have, even though I don't really need it? And if you find that the answer is, actually, I'm not sure they would, then can I suggest that we pray more, give us today our daily bread, and think about how God calls us to contentment when we have what we need. So now let's look at today. Give us today our daily bread. Now I have to say, when we look at the story of the manna in the desert, I think if I had been one of the Israelites, I might have been a bit frustrated by God's provision. Why does it have to be daily? I'll be saying to God, God, why couldn't I see coming over the desert a sort of big sand cloud and out of it coming lorries and lorries and lorries of manna, about a month's worth. And if you could deliver it 2 weeks before the end of each month, that would be perfect. And then I could plan ahead. I won't be worried about the future. I can just press on. Well, the reason, as we saw in the Deuteronomy reading I read, is that God wants to teach his people. He wants to teach his people to trust him when he makes a promise, to trust his word. Actually, they fail, as we saw. They thought they still needed to look after their own needs, so they gathered too much manna and some of it rotted. Or then when God said on Friday, you really do need to collect twice as much to see you through the Sabbath on Saturday, they didn't, and so they ran out of food. They thought that they could meet their needs. And even if that meant going against God's word, they were happy to ignore God's word. How is it for us? Do we sometimes do that? Do we sometimes conveniently ignore what God has said because we think, oh, my needs can only be met in that relationship, in that job, in spending my money in that way? We will never meet our needs in that way. We'll only meet them when we listen to his word and his promise that he will give us what we need. So God does it daily to teach us to rely on him, to find that he is trustworthy, and to remember that everything comes from him. In other words, he wants us to have faith. As soon as we have enough, we tend to think, as Moses said, that we can manage without God. And so we turn our backs on him. He just becomes nice to have around, and maybe an insurance just in case things get difficult in the future. But when that happens, things start going very badly wrong for us. Instead, Jesus assures us that God will meet our needs completely each day. That's why God's solution to our needs is quite often last minute. Why? It's really frustrating, this. Why? Because he is asking us, will you trust me? I've got to say, this is very often the case in church life. I've now been ordained for something like 10 and a bit years, isn't it? Something like that. No, maybe more than that. I have never in my time known a surplus of resources in church life. In particular, in filling vacancies in particular posts, and particularly in children's work. I have to say this. I've never had a moment when I have a list of people who are suitable for children's work and are eager to do it, but I have to say, listen, no, sorry, you're going to have to wait until one of the present people stand down. What always happens is that somebody comes to me, nearly always for a really good reason, and says, I'm going to have to stop doing what it is, and it's going to have to be quite soon, and I'm thrown into a blind panic. And then what happens is you get closer and closer to the date and nobody's presented themselves. There's no one out there, it seems. And then at the last minute, the Lord provides. Just an aside, I want to say this, that if you presently help out at St. Patrick's, you are God's answer to our prayer, give us today our daily bread. You're our answer. And then let me also say that even if you've been doing your job for 20 years in St. Patrick's, I never assume that you're going to do it next time. I always thank God every time that someone faithfully answers our prayer, give us today our daily bread, by serving him in our church community. It is a miracle of God's provision. It is a sign of his grace. You are a miracle of his provision and a sign of his grace. Every time, you are the answer to our prayer, give us today our daily bread. Because he is gracious. And when we really get this, when we really get the idea that when we pray, give us today our daily bread, God promises to meet our needs, not our wants, certainly not our luxuries, but our needs. That will also produce something in the Christian life. It will produce a calmness about the future. It will first of all give us a new perspective when we face times of shortage. And that's this. As the Israelites discovered, they were much closer to God in the wilderness, where they didn't have enough for the future and they had to rely on God each day, when they felt that they were on the verge of annihilation through mass starvation, they were closer to God there than when they arrived in the promised land for which they'd been longing. And they knew bounty and supply. There is a positive spiritual value in times when we are at the end of our resources. It's why the most godly Christians are often those who are most hard-pressed. Why? Because those difficult times teach us to trust God's promises. They are what God uses to bring us closer to him. You see, there is something much worse than being in need and crying out to God. It is never knowing need, and so never putting your trust in God's word and throwing your life on his grace. Because that will leave us in a terrible position on the final day of judgment. So times of shortage are a blessing. We don't want them, but God uses them. But they also give us a new perspective in times of plenty. The Lord's Prayer gives us this. Times of plenty, as we'll see from Israelite's example, will tend to draw us away from God unless we're very careful. If you like, times of plenty are like an elastic band, like a bungee rope pulling you back and pulling you away from God. And we have to, if we are being blessed by a time of plenty, we're going to have to work hard to resist that bungee rope, which wants us to pull us back. If you're feeling like you have, and you're not facing terrible shortage, beware. But don't worry, you've been given the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is there to train us to recognize that our future is safe, not because we've stored up provisions for the future. There's a parable in the Bible which warns against that. But we can be, our future is safe because God is faithful to his promises. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting that God is faithful. So, for instance, as I pray, give us today our daily bread, today I can think that God has done just that without missing a single day for the past 15,536 days. In all of those 15,536 days, the Lord has provided me with my daily bread. How faithful is that? How gracious of God is that? That every day he brings it to me. It's why the Lord's Prayer is such a joyful prayer. As I pray, give us today our daily bread, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for all those days you provided me with what I need. But such a perspective will have a big impact on us when we're calm about the future. When we've really understood the Lord's Prayer and it's transformed our lives, it will start to affect our savings. We will no longer hoard our money. We'll no longer think that we need money to keep us safe against the rainy day that might or might not happen. It's one of the things which holds us back from giving our money to God's work and our time, whether it be our mission partners overseas or in this country, whether it be giving to a new building at St. Patrick's, as we're going to be doing in the months ahead, or whether it's giving to the ongoing work at St. Patrick's. Every time you give money to God's work, there might be the lurking fear, but what if something happens and I need that money? Or one of my family needs that money? Well, your future is safe. And their future is safe, not because of your savings. They can disappear like that. But because Jesus has invited you to pray, give us today our daily bread. Do you see what a great preparation the Lord's Prayer is for when things go wrong? If we get it right during times of plenty and we really remember each day that what we have is not something assumed or expected, but a grace of the Lord, we will prepare our hearts to grow when we face times of shortage. Here's your second and third assignment. The second then is this. If you don't yet say grace before your meals, why don't you give it a go? Giving thanks for the food. Really sitting down and thinking, I only have this food because of your grace. Thank you for providing my daily bread today. Or maybe you do say grace, in which case I can promise you that it's probably at times become a bit of a habit, just something you just rattle out. So spend time thinking. Thank you, Lord, for giving us today our daily bread. But the second assignment is if actually that phrase, give us today our daily bread, feels a little bit empty, a little bit meaningless, then perhaps we need to look at our bank accounts. And ask ourselves this, is our money getting in the way of us trusting in God's promises? So as we've looked at the Lord's Prayer, we can see just how radical it is. It touches on our deepest needs and our deepest worries. And yet, when we pray it, we will discover both contentment and calm. It's why if we've given our lives to Jesus, if we've chosen to be his brothers and sisters, if we have the privilege of praying this prayer, the more this prayer sinks into our hearts and transforms our lives by God's Spirit, our lives will become almost unrecognizable from those around us. We will be content with what we have, and we will be calm about the future. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if somebody came to put their trust in the Lord Jesus because they looked at your life, a life shaped by his word and the Lord's Prayer, and they say, why are they so content with what they have? And why are they so calm about the future? Let's pray. Father God, you are loving and gracious to us. You always care for us. Lord, may we never forget that all that we have is a daily example of your grace. Preserve us from that self-reliance that would plagiarize you, that would say that actually we've earned what you've given. And Lord, by doing so, please give us joy at your goodness and grace to us, but also give us that deep contentment with what we have, a spirit of thanksgiving, and also a sure and certain calm about the future, knowing that you are faithful to your word. Amen.